You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where chores aren't for avoiding responsibility, they're for getting the life you want. Actually, that's just true of life in general. And if I throw up during this episode of the podcast, it's because I didn't do my chores, apparently. I just came home from work, and I guess I had chicken grease in the trash or something. I tried to air the apartment out real quick, but but it didn't work too well. So if you hear like, that's why. It's not the content we're talking about, although it may be the content we're talking about.
Who you needed knows? To demonstrate the throwing up sound to the audience.
Hey, it's good radio. It's good radio.
You
just
were
good,
the one.
It's just good pod.
I went silent last week for a joke, and you told me that wasn't good enough. Now I'm going more verbal for a joke. You're telling me that's not good enough.
Continuing your streak of genius, you posted something on themidside.com about how you foreshadowed the Walking Dead shot. Literally the day after we recorded the podcast, meaning the day the podcast came out, Adam Carolla did the exact same joke on his podcast.
Which joke?
I forget the exact setup, but his response was 10 seconds of silence.
Yeah! So shut the fuck up, alright? Jesus! After you tell me it's not good enough, a comedic genius does it?
You know, but he has one thing that you don't.
An audience?
Listeners?
Timing.
a career? A friendship with Penn Jillette?
Does a hot wife?
I don't know. What does the life look like? Anyway, I guess I don't have to introduce people this week. So, listeners, you can hear that Daniel T. Richards is talking already. So, Daniel, I was going to talk to you about fantasy football, but I think you've used up your introduction time already.
Thank you.
And the other voice that you're hearing, as you've probably surmised, is not Elliot, because it's Elliot's birthday. So he decides he wants to do not fun things on his birthday rather than record the podcast. So, I mean, whatever. So we instead of him, we have the replacement gay, William Green. And William, I have to point out here, you're actually technically paying to be on the podcast this week because you were one of our Patreon backers.
That's right. Do I get a discount for this week?
Patreon doesn't work that way. You know, I thought about it. I was going to go in there and like get rid of you for the week, but first of all, I want your $5. And second of all, it just Patreon doesn't work that way. You can't turn off for a week.
It's and it wouldn't be the
that's too bad.
It's not so fickle. It's not a woman.
It wouldn't be the full $5. It'd be one third of the $5. You could technically like PayPal him if you wanted.
That's true. I do accept Square Cash.
Is that a joke to bills?
No.
What?
What the hell?
I don't know.
What the hell is Square Cash?
Oh my god. You're just not hip with the kids these days. That's how you send money around.
Is this like the Bitmojis that people say are gonna be the new currency?
No, this is actual cash. There's an app called Square Cash. You just send money. That's how I accept rent and, you know, send rent between my roommates and, I think it's the same backing that, can't you send money with Snapchat now too? I think it's the same company. I think it's the Square Incorporated that does that too.
You can send money with Angry Birds now. Every app on your phone allows you to send currency to other people.
I will only send money with Angry Birds if when I press it, it turns into three more bills.
Ah.
Hilarious. Angry Birds humor. We're both so current.
Yeah, does anyone play Angry Birds anymore?
Not if you look at Rovio's hiring numbers.
Yeah.
Meaning -30%.
All right, this introduction has worn out its welcome. I don't consent to it anymore. So it's time for The News with Daniel T. Richards.
I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad. Because, kid, there's consequences to what we say and what we do. While you're
no means no, yes means no, probably, and yes every 10 minutes probably also means no. Let's be serious. At least that's what California high schoolers are learning in their new sexual consent classes. That's right. I actually didn't believe this was a true story until I realized it was being reported in the New York Times.
Wait. That does not mean that it's true. Did you double check this? Like, did you go back to the sources here? Did you find it somewhere other than AP and New York Times?
Points to William.
I suspect it is a true story. I suspect many of the facts are probably wrong. So the thing is, this classroom 10th graders in California, they do this little in-depth, I don't know, profile of them, I guess. And they're talking about how the new law in California where children have to be taught consent in their sexual, whatever this is, class, is affecting them. And so this was the question from a boy named Aiden Ryan, 16, when asking about getting consent. What does that mean? You have to say yes every 10 minutes? And the teacher, Ms. Zaloom, says pretty much. It's not a timing thing, but whoever initiates things to another level has to ask. What the hell does that mean?
What's the other level? Is that like when you get a warp whistle in Super Mario Brothers 3?
I think that we're quickly devolving to the point where as the penetrator, you're going to have to ask for consent for each thrust. Which I think, you know, the very few, you know, like, you know, straight porn I've seen, I think some girls actually do consent each thrust. So I think it might be we're just heading to that so that it's just going to have to be that all the time.
This could become like a mode of bragging for guys? It's like, yeah, my girlfriend said yes like 58 times last night.
I got 150 guesses last night.
She was guessing every 10 seconds.
150? Jeez.
Then she said,
I need
yes,
to work
God.
Out more.
So last year, California led the way in requiring colleges to use affirmative consent as the standard in campus disciplinary decisions, defining how and when people agree to have sex, more than a dozen other legislatures.
Isn't definitionally consent affirmative?
Yeah, you don't have to say affirmative consent.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in this case, they're making a legal distinction here, and I think they're saying you have to keep consenting, like you have to keep, that you can't just have an implied consent. Like if you're getting, you know, one sort of sex act, if you move to another one, if you switch positions, you have to ask permission first. I mean, it's been a while since I've been an undergrad, but isn't the point for most college students, I'm not saying this is the point for me because it wasn't, the point for most college students is to get drunk and have sex? Like, isn't this kind of like anti against their marketing here? I mean, it's if you're having affirmative consent, it seems like these public schools, people are going to start flocking to the schools where these laws don't apply.
Well, I think anti against their marketing is well in line with affirmative consent.
Yeah, I don't. So the whole getting drunk thing,
okay,
by the way,
I don't think anyone picked up that joke. So,
nope. Your jokes are either obscure or horrible.
That wasn't you making fun of the double negatives. That's all that was doing.
Okay.
I like how Daniel and I are trying to have a quality podcast here. and Justin's just over there lobbing the cluster bombs.
Justin
it's
can't believe
worms.
Yes. What?
We're gonna name all the games from the early 2000s in this podcast. We'll like to call this episode the old game edition.
I still don't know what we're talking about. So this is my favorite quote from the article. Well, one of them, Ms. Zalome telling the children, what's really important to know is that sex is not always super smooth. It can
Thank
be awkward.
God.
And that's actually normal and shows things are okay. It's not super smooth. It can be awkward, and that's normal.
Well, what it's going to be super awkward if you're going to have to get yes every time. And who has to say yes?
Exactly. Oh, look at that. And who has to get the consent? That's a fantastic point there, producer William.
There was actually a video of this, of two people getting consent from each other over and over again. But people made the point in the comment section, but the guy kept saying, is this okay? And the girl kept saying, do you like this? And they were like, well, she just does what she wants and then asks if the guy likes it. And the guy asks if it's okay.
Well, in the article, they asked the high schoolers what if they had a better word to ask for consent. And one of the guys was quoted as saying, you good. I like that. I feel like I've said that before. So maybe I'm already following the standard a little bit.
I don't understand.
They asked them a rhetorical question. They said, what's a way you can ask this to be more sexy? So they're crowdsourcing their social justice now?
I don't know.
They're trying to make it hip.
They said, put it in your own words, I think was the, I'll have to scroll around this ridiculous article.
But that's the question. They're begging the question at that point then, because when these kids go around and they say Netflix and chill to each other, when a guy texts a girl Netflix and chill and she comes over, that's already consent on a certain level. So you're just pushing it back. Do you get what I'm saying? No, I understand. Don't fucking jump down my throat here, people, and say, just because the woman goes over there or the girl goes over doesn't mean she's consenting. I understand that. But that's the point is, socially, there's certain understandings between people who are interested in each other. So there's already a language that kids have for this, but you're telling them their language isn't good enough and then asking them to come up with a new language? Who the fuck are you?
When
the California
first
state
lawsuit.
Legislature, that's who we are.
When will the first lawsuit come from someone asking a girl, you good, she saying yes, them having sex, and then she saying, well, I didn't know that meant I was consenting to sex. I thought that meant, like, I was a good person.
Yeah.
I'm moral.
That's not as absurd as it could be. I mean, let's make it concrete for a second. We're saying that we're letting the government decide what words you're supposed to use for kids in college for sex. Like we're outlining, you know, we're taking something that is a gray area, like there's lots of gray areas in sexual consent, and we're saying that now the government is going to use force to dictate which phrases you're allowed to say during sex.
A mantra of the left used to be get the government out of our bedroom, right?
Exactly.
Now it seems like
exactly.
The left wants to be actually inside the vagina.
Yeah.
Like, it wants to be the guardian of the vag.
I would love to hear some leftists explain to me how this kind of law is any different than the Texas sodomy law. I'd like to understand that.
Well, the Republicans didn't pass this law, which is why it's different.
The difference they're going to say is it's for protecting people. That's what they're going to say.
So was the sodomy law. So was the sodomy law. Yeah.
The right would say that as well. Exactly. Sodomy's bad for you. Going to hell.
But that's protecting you morally. This is protecting you physically.
There's no difference.
There's no difference?
No. I don't get any of this. I don't understand it. I literally don't understand it. If I could try to pick any sort of even quasi-positive out of this, it would be that this may in some way make people a little more conscientious about who they sleep with. I think that's a net positive thing, but I think ultimately this is just going to result in a lot more lawsuits against guys.
Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to point out too before we move on to the next story. You know, one of the things that I hated back when I was an undergrad is I went to undergrad at Michigan. Yes, disappointing loss this weekend. But
did Michigan consent to that punt?
We did not say yes, yes, yes. That is certainly not what we said. And Michigan State did not ask us if we were good.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people screaming no.
Yeah.
But
I think Michigan
raped
themselves on that last play.
In Michigan, there's a concealed carry law. It's been around for a long time. But students, even if they live off campus and they are not located on campus, were not allowed back when I was an undergrad to conceal carry because they would violate the Michigan Code of Ethics, the University of Michigan Code of Ethics. Things like these consent laws, I'm wondering if California would be the same way. Does this mean this won't apply just to students at the university having sex in the university? This will apply to students anywhere they are. So if someone, if someone is traveling Europe and gets a little slutty, they could end up coming back and getting expelled or violating whatever this policy is. They didn't say yes because they were saying C. This kind of like regulation of behavior to me smacks of the right, and it's coming from the left, and it's very interesting to me.
I heard there, William, was slut shaming. So
isn't this all just making everyone role play as Consuelo from Family Guy?
No.
Yes.
That's so messed up.
No. It's actually raining here in Torrance. I stay.
But no, Daniel, you actually make a really good point that I want to drive home here. A lot of this problem would be solved if people were more conscientious about who they were sleeping with. And I don't know, raise their fucking standards a little bit.
How dare you? I'm an 18-year-old. I can do what I want.
You can do what you want. But why do you want to do it? That's the question.
Because I'm told that I'm not a slut if I sleep around, or I'm not a man
if I sleep around. I hear what you're saying, that if you pick a better partner, but, you know, sex is a value too. So if I delayed by like even one date having sex with my last ex, I would have missed out on an incredible experience. And so I don't want to say that this is, I'm trying to make it concrete for myself. I would have rather risked it, you know, because I didn't know him. I didn't know him so well that I could say he wouldn't require a yes means yes standard. You know what I mean?
Like, it sounds like you're asking to be raped right now and you don't want to admit it. That's what it sounds like.
No, what I'm trying to make a point of here is, by putting these extra restrictions on, you're delaying an important value to people, and sex is an important part of a relationship. Maybe, you know, I'm all for, you know, not picking up a random person and having sex with them. But at the same time, you know, you shouldn't wait 6 months until you know everything about someone's character and before you, first have sex with them. I mean, cause what if you first have sex with them and it sucks, you know? Like, that's an important part of a relationship too. There's ways of ramping up, you know, your intimacy in the physical realm, just like you ramp up your intimacy in the emotional realm, and putting these sort of arbitrary rules, these very high, almost formalistic rules around it, isn't going to help the situation. It's going to delay things that should already be happening.
I'm not going to put a time constraint on it for anything. Daniel, are you going to tell me what my point is? Go ahead.
I was going to say that Justin Williams' discussion of that already, is making Justin's point.
You fucking Justin Williams' point? Come on, man.
Yes. Thank you. I'm good sometimes. Just sometimes, though. Because what we're talking about here comparatively is like primitive ape shit. Like, not what you're talking about, sex as a value. We're talking about sex as a thing you do when you get wasted. Yeah, not sex as a value.
Right.
Sex as a, I'm going to eat this entire chocolate cake.
Right, but this rule applies to everyone on campus. So even if I meet someone at the bar, we hang out, we go study one night, and then, like, you know, things start to get physical. Now I have to make it, oh, well, now we have to stop, fill out this form, decide on our language. Is you good, good for you? Okay. Well, let's just document that really quick on my phone so that I'm covered legally when, you know, when the campus police come by and have, you know, secretly recorded our sex to make sure it complies with the ethical standards.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the problem, though.
I still lean slightly more. I mean, I understand the sex is a value argument. I would never deny that whatsoever. On the other hand, sex is an important enough value that I'd want to put some added amount of intellectual investment into figuring out who the hell I'm sleeping with.
Look, I'm not saying sex isn't a value. Hold on here. Pump the brakes here. I feel like my point's been misconstrued here.
You are the ascetic of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? I guess maybe
I'm the only one that has had an experience where I've had like a 4 month relationship and then all of a sudden I figure out they're batshit crazy. Like, maybe I'm the only one. Sorry, I had to play that card. Sorry.
No, look, the point I'm making is this, is exactly what you said, William, is that when you do this, it lowers everybody to the same lower standard where, you know, even the people who are doing things rationally have to suffer. And the point I'm making when I'm saying, you know, if you choose your partners better, this isn't as much of a worry, is what Daniel's saying, is when you choose it purely animalistically, you're seeing everyone as an enemy. As a violent person. Yeah. As a combatant. I was combining the word enemy and combatant. And that's the problem. Is you if you can't get past the point that you baseline can't see them whether they're an enemy or not, then you shouldn't be sleeping with them, is what I'm saying. And, you know, maybe for some people that takes 6 months. Maybe for some people that takes 6 minutes. That's not my place to say what the judgment is for that person, their time frame on it is. But my point is when they're choosing, if you're to the point that you have to keep consenting yes and yes over and over again, that means you're willing to withdraw your consent from that person at any split second. You shouldn't be sleeping with them at that point because you see them as not enough of a value and you see them as too much of a combatant at that point, as an enemy, as a threat. Threat is the word I've been looking for. Do you understand my point?
Everyone understands your point. It's a good point.
I think we've beat this story to death. But as producer, I would like to say it's always great to lead off with teenage sex. So I'm
as long as they're 18.
Yeah, the ratings will go up.
Some hot pod talk right there.
As long as they're 18.
Popular pickup line at UT Austin this week. Is that a dildo in your backpack? Or you just know that's definitely a dildo in your backpack?
Next fall, that will be the pickup line.
Oh, whatever.
Read the article.
This week, next fall. I didn't read the article. I don't ever read the news articles. I just read the first paragraph. Hundreds of students at the University of Texas in Austin will protest a new law that will allow more. It, by the way, Justin, it is fall. So,
fall you. 2016.
Fall 2016?
I sent you the Facebook invite.
Why are we doing a story that happens in fall 2016?
We have to prepare ahead of time.
You've got to order your dildo. It takes a while for those things to get shipped.
If you're going to order the jumbo size, it takes a while to produce it.
Okay, audience, here's the incredibly timely and relevant news story for you.
Hey, at least we're ahead of this one, unlike the Australia one, which happened like, what, 6 years ago or some shit? The ban on where they rebought the guns?
The basically forced reselling of guns to the government. Justin wanted to carry that as a news story this week, even though I told him it happened years ago.
No, we did it last week, and it happened years ago.
Yeah. I know. I paid for that episode.
Hundreds of students at the University of Texas Austin will protest a new law that will allow more guns on campus, not with signs or sit-ins, but with, quote, strapping gigantic swinging dildos to their backpacks. Their mantra, hashtag cocks, not glocks. Oh, this article is so self-entitled.
Can we just do shit that rhymes from now on and act like it's clever?
No.
No.
More than 4,100 people had signed to participate for the Monday morning on August 24th, 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be next year, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The strap-in will be the first day of next year's fall semester. The event was created the same day one student was killed and another wounded in a shooting at Texas Southern University. So, here's the thing. Big, giant, flapping dildos. Do they really prevent guns from being brought on campus? Discuss.
Well,
I think it's a great, idea. I think everyone should show off their sex toys. Seriously, no, I don't think it's going to have any effect. I mean, I guess it's a cute protest. At least it's not, I could think of a lot more malicious things people could do, as far as, you know, like calling the police, every time they see someone concealing, you know, with a concealed weapon. So there's a lot more malicious things they could do. So as a form of protest, I think it's cute.
Here's the thing. Are the laws keeping guns off campus now, keeping guns off campus now? No, as evidenced by the school shootings. Why not allow people who actually are trained and have the whatever necessary registration to carry that gun if they feel safer or perhaps just possibly save your life? By saying you can't bring a gun here, it doesn't actually stop people from bringing guns there.
Yeah, it's the same thing with drug laws, right? I mean, just because we ban drugs doesn't mean I can't go out and get some.
Turns out all these shootings have happened at gun-free zones.
So
maybe we need another law. We need a double law. A double gun-free zone. Two times the gun-freeness. So I said to Justin, it's not as if the governor is lifting the gun force field from the university and allowing guns to pour in.
Yeah, that's true.
Stupid-ass shit.
Here's a twisted line of logic for you.
Oh,
are you
God.
Ready? So, one of the funniest comments I saw on this article or in this discussion is, what happens when someone gets raped with one of these dildos they're carrying around?
Well, if they didn't say yes, yes, yes during, then they would violate the honor code, especially if they were a California student just happening to visit the Texas campus.
Ah, now you see where I'm going with this story. So then all colleges become a dildo-free zone.
That would be a travesty.
But no, the precedent is then set with this no, yes, yes, yes rule that a penis is a weapon. Does that mean we all are going to eventually need a concealed carry permit for
your
our penises?
Well, I don't know about you, Justin, but I already carry one, so.
I don't know about you, Justin. My cock's registered as a weapon in 16 counties. That was a joke from, like, Old West movies. His hands are registered as weapons.
Yeah, who's explaining their jokes now?
Okay. Well, you sat there like crickets.
Now the shoe is on the other foot, eh?
Is that a saying? Is that a phrase? Is that an actual idiom? Now the shoe is on the other foot?
Yes.
I think so. I heard Zoidberg say it before.
I didn't make that shit up.
Zoidberg said it. Wouldn't that be awkward? They're shaped differently. You couldn't actually, it'd be really uncomfortable for you to do that.
Well, so is walking a mile in someone else's shoes, but they say that shit.
Anyway.
I mean, pleasuring yourself with someone else's dildo probably sucks too, but look what we got going on as a story here now. I just want I just want a video of one person getting slapped in the face with one of these dildos, just because it'd be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I think there's websites you can go to for that, Justin, if you really want.
That's not what I meant.
Oh, God.
I meant
UT Austin.
This protest.
So I love Austin. UT Austin? Not so much. They are the bunch
of
hippies.
Daniel, you leave, and then they start passing these crazy laws and then start carrying around dildos.
I know. They're really just calling me back to the city. They're just saying, Daniel, come back and bring a big pink dildo.
And slap everyone with it.
That's just Justin.
So this is the other thing I find unfair about this story. Men comparatively, I should qualify, straight men comparatively have really terrible sex toys. I mean, all
the
sex
toys.
We have
the greatest sex toy of all.
Yeah, that's...
dicks!
Justin. It's attached to the body.
We don't need it! We don't need anything else! Why do we need something else? Women need something else because they're waiting for us. We don't need something else. We got our fucking head. Alright?
And our Patreon page is
blowing up. My point is that I think the sex toy industry is misogynistic against men. There's another word for that. Misandristic? Misandristic against men. That's what I'm saying. We need equal sex toys for equal genders.
It's called prostitution.
That's not even legal in most places.
Real dolls.
Okay, those are expensive and a little bit creepy.
What are those pocket vaginas? What are those fleshlights? Fleshlights.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fleshlight. Nobody has heard of a fleshlight before?
Flesh, like F-L-E-S-H, light.
Correct.
Like sounds like flashlight.
Correct.
Yeah.
But made of flesh.
Shaped like a flashlight.
Well, if we're going to turn this into, sex toy recommendation show. I mean, I think we should wait till Elliot gets back, and then Elliot and I, we can probably have a great set of recommendations for all guys. I don't think it applies just to straight guys or gay guys. There's some particular things that might just be interesting to gay guys, but yeah, we can have a whole segment if you want, Justin.
Next week, dildo review with the midside.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
speaking of dildos, anti-fracking activists. Alex Epstein, founder of the Center for Industrial Progress, had a fantastic article in Forbes this week called Four Fallacies That Fractivists Use to Scare You. He talks about making a big picture about the future of energy and how we need to think globally, not locally. No, that's not what he's saying. We need to think basically about how risks and rewards for everything, not just risks. And to that end, he gives basically four fallacies that anti-fracking activists use to try to convince you.
Four
no, that was the last story. This one is fallacies, not... Yeah, okay. He gives four of them that fractivists use as a sort of mental trick to try to convince you that fracking is bad.
The fracking you're looking for.
We're covering these not just because on the show we fucking love fracking and I worked on Frack Nation to some degree, fracknation.com. Mm-hmm. But because these fallacies are applicable in many different areas.
Yes, you can use them in your real life.
Yeah. So the first fallacy he goes to is the abuse-use fallacy, which
basically also applies to the last two stories.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. You absolutely can't abuse a dildo.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the idea here is that if a technology or if anything can be abused, then we shouldn't use it because it's bad. And of course that on its very face is dumb, but that's what they say. So some people, for instance,
say that about penises. Feminists
make a very bad well casing in fracking.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it breaks, and that is evidence to a fractivist that all fracking should be banned.
Right, one man rapes a woman, therefore all men should be banned.
You are really on the rape this week.
Yeah. So I think someone on this podcast is asking to get raped, and it is not the gay.
Honestly, I've just been watching too much SVU.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. I think everyone just watches too much SVU. Either they watch too much Gasland. That's how they end up with this crap.
That's true. So that's a really common one, for instance, you know, if fracking, for instance, and this leads into the next one as well, if you can light your water on fire because of fracking, then fracking should be banned. That's ridiculous. All technologies have consequences. Cars can be abused. Guns obviously can be abused. Dildos can be wildly abused.
The internet can be abused. We should ban the internet.
Yeah.
They're trying.
Using it for porn. Mm-hmm. So that's a simple one. The next one he has is the false attribution fallacy, which is claiming that one thing caused another. This is also in informal logic called post hoc ergo propter hoc.
And correlation is not causation?
Yeah, indeed. Which is basically the idea that if something happened after another thing, the first thing must have caused the second. And in this instance, it's what I just mentioned. Because you can light your water on fire in some parts of the country and people notice that there's fracking going on nearby, the fracking must have caused it. Problem with this logic is that there's no actual scientific connection between the two. Because people weren't able to light their water on fire in this country since the 1700s, i.e. since we arrived. There are places in the country named Burning Springs. You want to know why? Because there's lots of natural gas naturally in their water.
Oh, thought it was burning for another reason.
No. And in fact, George Washington, when he was a boy, was bored, and he used to go out and light the Millstone River on fire. Because, you know, that's what you did back then, because you didn't have Netflix.
So you couldn't do Netflix and chill. You had to do Netflix and, or you had to do light shit on fire and chill.
Yeah, probably not so much chill, more like light shit on fire and fornicate.
I find that far too funny.
Yes, you do. Number three, the no threshold fallacy, meaning if something is bad for you in some amount, it must be bad for you in all amounts. This is obviously the whole fracking chemicals do X, Y, and Z. Therefore, chemicals are bad. Therefore, you should ban fracking.
You know what?
Yeah, my brother is the king of posting those dihydrogen monoxide memes. Like, he posts them all the time because they're just hilarious. That's water for those of you who aren't chemically literate.
For those of you who didn't pass high school chemistry, that's water.
Hey, our demographic, as producer, I'd like to point out, our demographic ranges all education
all the
levels.
Way from 13 to 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Teen sex next week on the mid side.
No, you know what this happens the most in and it pisses me off?
What?
Food. This is the whole health food thing, right?
Oh, dude. It's you. Every California everything has to put up that sign for proposition, whatever it is, saying there's chemicals in here that cause cancer. I'm sorry. There are chemicals in your house that cause cancer. There are chemicals in the atmosphere right now that you are breathing that causes cancer.
Yeah, turns out there are literally chemicals in your body that cause cancer.
Yeah, but
right
it's
now.
it's not just the causing cancer thing. It's this whole idea that you're only supposed to eat natural, organic, and you can't ever have anything.
Hold on, isn't that the next fallacy?
It's a preview of the next fallacy, we'll say.
Okay.
But yes.
But
it
no,
is a
it's
form
the same
of this.
Thing. It's the idea that anything processed and anything non-organic it hurts your body, therefore it's bad. Cause you can't, you know, as Andy Bernstein says, if I want a cookie, I'm gonna eat a fucking cookie. Because you're not even supposed to have a cookie because it's fucking bad for you. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's convenient to eat fast food cause it's cheap and it's quick.
Yeah, I will say that to use the food analogy here, I think it actually people who are paleo and or orthodox paleo can be particularly horrible about this. I once interacted with a guy who said that a baker that I knew was
evil,
immoral.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
In fact, called her a confectioner of death, not ironically, because she provided sweets to people.
And are we talking about the same girl?
Yeah, I think we are.
Not allowed on this podcast.
Oh, come on. The example was good.
It's a good example. It is a good example.
But this is the thing. Like, of course, things are bad for you in some quantities and not others. If all I ate was chocolate cake, I would get diabetes. But if I had one piece of chocolate cake on my birthday once a year, it's not going to do anything to
me. But you know what?
Whatsoever.
If you wanted to live 20 years and have your foot cut off to eat chocolate cake your whole life, then you know what? You can fucking do that, okay?
You mean you can. I'm not going to stop you politically, but I think it's still immoral of you to do that. But the way this compares is with chemicals, right? And I want to spend just a little more time on this one in particular because people go batshit insane about chemicals.
Chemicals. I only use chemical-free makeup.
Exactly.
I actually have legit... I remember I first saw it when I was traveling in Europe, at like somewhere in England, and they had giant signs saying chemical-free makeup. And I was just wondering, are they made of gluons or quarks or some sort of like sub-element? Like, are there really literally no electrons in this?
Tachyons. Like, it's all tachyons.
Because if it didn't have electrons, it would be pretty dangerous to have anywhere near your face, this planet...
They modified the deflector array to emit tachyons. That's how they did it.
That's how they always do it.
Yeah, so chemical-free is the only things that I use. I'm having a chemical-free beer right now.
Is this water chemical-free? No, it's fucking water! It is a chemical! You are drinking a chemical. Everything is a chemical. Everything is chemical. That's from the Lego movie. I'm being you on purpose this week because you're not being you.
How am I not being me?
You're making jokes that are so obscure that not even I or William understand them. Okay, that is pretty much you, but. All right, never mind.
Woo, so... Tiny Rick! Tiny Rick!
I have no idea. So the point is that, yeah, chemicals, stop being afraid of chemicals just because they're chemicals. It depends on the dosage. The other one where this really fucking pisses me off is radiation. When who was it after Fukushima? Some State Department official here said, we will not allow a single ounce of radiation into this country. I was like, are you going to get rid of bananas? I love bananas.
First of all, is ounce the proper measurement for radiation? Last time I checked, it wasn't.
Yes.
It's gamma rays, like, isn't it?
That means I can't
RADS
actually...
RADS or REMS. Yeah. REMS. REMS is the medical dose.
Isn't it how green you get from the accident?
No, that's in The Simpsons.
I mean, I can't take a fucking flight on an airplane because I'll get a dosage of radiation in America? Like, it's dumb. Stop being dumb, people. Really? I mean, most of our listeners...
X-ray? How do you get an X-ray without radiation?
Not allowed in this country after Fukushima. Not a single ounce of it. And finally,
maybe we also shouldn't live in areas surrounded by water. Maybe that'll stop the problem.
Yes, that'll be it. We need to.
That dihydrogen monoxide is very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yes, very. Kills more people per year than radiation, certainly. And then the final fallacy is the one Justin alluded to, which is the quote artificial quote fallacy, meaning nature is great. Everything in quote unquote nature is good for us, and everything made by man is bad for us. Problem is, this couldn't be further from the truth.
I have some all natural cyanide that you can have. It's all natural.
Yeah.
Organic, certified organic.
I always love this argument because it always, I always reduce this to absurdity and it pisses people off. Because if people are part of nature and the things we've evolved into are part of nature and our brains are part of nature and we create things using nature, isn't everything we create all natural? How can anything be non-natural? And then people are like, well, that gets rid of the definition of nature. But why is it when animals create shit, literally, it's okay to use as fertilizer, but if we create things, it's not acceptable? Beaver dams, cool. Fracking things, human dams, not.
Yeah, that's actually my metaphor my example I often use. When a beaver builds a dam, we think it's awesome. When a man builds a skyscraper, we look at it with disgust as... a huge footprint unnecessary. That's dumb. The skyscraper is the man's version of the beaver's dam. We're fucking way better at it than beavers are. It's ridiculous.
I think those beavers need to think about the environment before they build their dams. They should have to get permits. We need an environmental study.
Impact
study. A beaver council needs to gather around, and we have the beaver protesters. They have a view that should be recognized.
Suddenly, yes. I realize why they were angry beavers.
Is that like the prequel to Angry Birds? I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. Yeah, artificial things are great, including, you know, fucking medicine. And also all the water you drink, which if you were to try to find it in nature, probably 50% of it would be completely undrinkable and cause you to die, which is why, for instance, early Americans mostly drank beer. That's a true story. That's all I got. News this week. Pissed off at for activists, pissed off at UT students, pissed off at sex ed teachers.
Well, we can also get pissed off at Legendary and Warner Brothers Pictures and Star Wars, because it's time for The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Breaking news in the entertainment segment this week. It just came out today that Netflix is going to be continuing another fan favorite series, Gilmore Girls, which apparently ended very poorly in its last season because the creator wasn't part of the last season, is being brought back to Netflix to do a very Sherlockian season where they're going to have like 3 or 4 mini movies rather than just a whole season. And the big thing with this is apparently the creator promised the fans that the show would end with 4 words. And now they're finally going to get those 4 words. So I ask you, William Daniel, what are the 4 words that Gilmore Girls is going to end with?
Have you killed yourself?
It was all a dream?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
May the force be.
Then it just goes Sopranos.
Yep. It's dark. And it allows you to think, may the force be with you, or may the force be equal to mass times acceleration. I don't know. Who the hell watched Gilmore Girls?
Get to the chopper. That's what it's gonna end
with. I honestly don't even know what the show is, so. I mean. Sorry. I'm a terrible gay.
All I know about that show is that it was the show with the women who talk too fast.
That's
was it good?
Much.
Did anyone watch any of it? Justin, did you see any of it?
Yeah, because of Alexis Bledel, but I watched it on mute.
And what were you doing while watching it? Was your dildo out?
So
I think protesting concealed carry.
I think per what Daniel's saying, the last 4 words of the series should be, would you shut up?
Exactly.
Moving on to something else that Daniel probably won't like. Legendary announced that they too are going to be creating a shared cinematic universe. But the shared cinematic universe is monster movies. The initial trio of films are 2017's Kong, Skull Island, Godzilla 2 in 2018, and Godzilla vs. Kong arriving in theaters in 2020.
Really? This isn't a joke.
No, this is real. This is a press release from Legendary.com. I read that directly from that. It was announced on October 14th, 2015, that because of the success of the Godzilla movie that they're going to be doing.
Well, the Godzilla movie, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was a popcorn thriller. I mean, I can appreciate it on that level, but
it was no Pacific Rim.
It was no Transformers.
Okay, look, this will be the first and maybe last time you ever hear an objectivist say this. Stop fucking integrating shit. Stop.
No, this is not integration. This is like a a hodgepodge sort of mixture. It's not even an integration. It's
I'm equivocating on the word integration for the humor effect.
Well,
but the
they
point
actually
is,
they did Godzilla versus King Kong way back in the day. Was it in the 50s? So this has been done before.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
makes
not
it
only
even
this
worse.
Is a terrible idea, it's a terrible idea that's already been done once. It's a remake of a shitty idea.
Hey, sometimes remakes are better than the original.
But not remakes of shitty ideas. You're just compounding the shit. You're just putting shit on top of the shit.
Hey, Ocean's Eleven, the remake, was at least watchable.
It was, but Ocean's 12?
Well, that's a sequel of a remake. Yeah, I think we can apply that rule.
Oh my god, get some new ideas. Listen, Hollywood, dear Jews, fire everyone.
Everyone?
Fire everyone at this point, and get new people.
Everyone?
All of them. Well, look, is Snyder really gonna, he's gonna do his own thing anyway. But he would be the only one I would actually, look, fire everyone, just hire all new writers, okay? Just, we need new shit, please.
I mean, the problem I have with this is, it's literally using the Marvel formula here, where they're gonna have minor movies with the characters, and then they're gonna put them in one big movie to make it an event movie to put them together. And that's just, I just don't give a fuck. Like, it makes me not want to watch the minor movies, and then if you don't watch the minor movies, you don't care about the major movie, and it's just a big fucking waste of time.
Okay, the only possible benefit I can see out of all of this nonsense is that when they finally scrape the bottom of the barrel for ideas to create these mega franchises out of, they might actually get around to Atlas Shrugged.
Yes, but then we'll have to mix it with King Kong.
What could they mix Atlas Shrugged with?
Oh man, no. What I'm saying is, you have the three big Atlas Shrugged movies as the integrating ones, but you could have all these character movies. Like, you could have a whole movie about, Ragnar Danigjul, which would be the best movie of them all.
Didn't I already say this idea on the podcast, or no?
I said this idea.
Oh.
This is my idea.
Okay.
I'll beat you senseless if you steal my horrible idea.
Alright, well, moving on to somebody else's horrible idea. And it's not horrible for the reason you think, you fucking social justice warriors. Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, hopes to appoint a female director to a Star Wars film in the future. She said, "There's nothing we'd like more than to find a female director for Star Wars. There's an assumption made that the people involved should be predominantly be men. There are women who are Star Wars fans. That's what's so insane." Can I ask a question here?
Whose assumption?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Whose assumption? Like, maybe it's just my inability to think like other people. Like, one of the things you always tell me, Daniel, is I'm too generous, I'm too benevolent. But it never crosses my mind. Like, I don't fucking think and go, you know, the people who run X franchise should really be men. There should be no women involved. I don't think that. So I just assume other people don't think that. Do most people really sit around and think that?
It's systemic, Justin. Women are being held out because it's of the system.
Yeah. I think anytime you're determining who you should hire by genitalia, that you've obviously done something wrong.
Exactly. I've read this treatment. It's fantastic. Their vision is brilliant, but do they have a vagina? That's what I really want to know.
I think we need more. I think we need a, you know, some sort of a transgender person helming the Star Wars spinoffs, or maybe a gay.
Yeah, why not a gay, transgender, disabled pirate named Pierre, but who identifies as a woman?
So also in this article, she says, a few years ago, there were more women. She said there were more women. There was, you know, it was climbing. The numbers never climbed significantly, but more women were running studios than there are today. We need to not go to a filmmaker who's done one movie, expect them to come in and do something the size of Star Wars without having an opportunity to find other movies they can do along the way. So it's this, she's basically using what you're saying, the systemic argument.
Here's the thing. You need to make sure that whatever industry you're in doesn't have this behind the scenes men's club council trying to keep the vag down. Okay. That's your first job. Do that. If that's over, and just let it develop how it develops. If women want to get into filmmaking,
I want to point out, isn't she she does indeed have a vagina, not a penis, right?
And she's in charge. Looks can be deceiving.
I'm just saying, let's grant that to her. She's in charge of Lucasfilms. If she wanted to give someone a movie to do, couldn't she just do that or have done that before or do it now? Like if she really thinks that there are not, hasn't she been making selections on directors for a while now?
Maybe she thought JJ was a woman's name.
Maybe she, you know, if she's just picking the best and they happen to be male, there might be reasons for that, but her job is to pick the best, not to pick the ones without a penis.
This is an area where I think Adam Carolla's Jewish roofer principle comes into play, which is we worry about diversity only in sexy jobs like filmmaking and tech, but how come we don't worry that there aren't more Jewish roofers or, you know, Asian garbage men, for instance?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. You know, I know that there's a lot of philosophical problems with with Gladwell's book, Outliers, but he points that out in Outliers, right? There's sometimes reasons why certain ethnic or, you know, sex or sexual orientation, like there's certain reason why certain groups end up dominating certain fields. And it has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with other circumstances that are just happened to be cultural at the time or the timing of the events or the industry starting at a certain time. I mean, if we actually project this out, the tech industry is going to be dominated by immigrants very soon. You know, we have a ton of immigrants coming in that are doing IT jobs, and there's a large amount of like Indian and Chinese and all these other diverse ethnic groups. You're not going to see, you know, there's a reason we all joke about the Indian call center, right? But there's a reason why you're going to see that in the future. You're going to see all these folks dominate this industry soon. And it has nothing to do with racism. It just has to do with the timing and cultural and geographic, you know, laws, other things, you know, that all these other things that you'll, you know, are we going to have a quota for white male, you know, help desk workers because there's not enough of them? You know, probably not, right?
Don't tell Trump about all these tech immigrants who want to build a giant firewall.
That was good. The point is, Kathleen Kennedy, pick the best director. Don't pick it based upon gender. I mean, you've already got JJ doing the first movie. You've got Phil Lord and Christopher Miller doing the Han Solo movie.
How many lens flare, you know, shots are we going to see in the first Star Wars movies? How many shaky shots of action that you won't be able to understand will there be in the first Star Wars?
We're calling them saber flares for this film, but yes, over under 7,200.
Basically, this movie is going to be unwatchable by me. I'm going to have to sit in the back row so that I don't get nauseous.
Bring your sunglasses.
Yeah.
So a similar story that was huge this week or last week on the internets was Jennifer Lawrence's letter in Lena Dunham's Lenny Letter newsletter. And in it, Jennifer Lawrence discusses this fact, this note that she was paid less than her co-stars in American Hustle, Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Renner, and Christian Bale. And it's this big travesty, and this letter is being used... It's being made out to be this big travesty, and this letter is being used to make it seem like Jennifer Lawrence was complaining about the fact that she was paid less. But I have a much different read on this letter, and that's what I want to point out, that the media is twisting this to fit their agenda. Jennifer Lawrence in this letter admits that she didn't negotiate as hard as she could have. And this letter is wondering herself why she did that. She's saying, is it because I was a woman, because I was, you know, culturally conditioned to not bargain as hard, to not negotiate as hard, so I let it go easily? Or, you know, did I make the right call, or what's going on? Whereas they're making it out to be that she was complaining and saying that it was injustice when she wasn't. She was using this as a way of examining herself and her role in the industry going forward. The number one thing that stuck out to me, besides the whole negotiating point, was her saying, I let it go because basically I didn't need the money based upon all the money I've made. I was just kind of like, I want to do this movie. Let's get on with this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. William?
I think this letter was great. if you actually read the content of the letter, like, she's basically calling herself out. You know, it's a job, you know, as a producer of a podcast, let me just tell you that you want to hire talent at the rate that they're willing to perform at, right? You don't pay them based on some sort of like arbitrary number and I'm going to pay everyone the same. You know, if someone's willing to work for a little less and you can get a bigger value out of them, it's still a win-win situation. They're getting the money they want. I'm getting the performance that I want. So, you know, the fact that she accepted that rate, I mean, that's one thing that gets me very riled up about the whole, you know, women don't make more than men sort of situation, is that for the most part, stuff is voluntary around here. You know, like no one's requiring you to come in at that rate. If you want a higher rate, go find that higher rate or go make that higher rate. You know, we've got a lot of successful women in the world today. There might, you know, like we had mentioned earlier, there might be, if there's some backroom deals being made to keep the Good Old Boys Network going, then hey, let's expose that. But let's not, you know, let's not vilify these producers at Sony for getting her at a good rate. I mean, that's their job, is to get the lowest, you know, get the lowest labor rate they can for the talent. And, you know, that's what they did. You know, they negotiated and she accepted a certain rate, and that's the rate she accepted.
And Daniel, before you go, I just want to make a point. Isn't she doing the Tom Brady thing anyway? If she's already made her money off of the Hunger Games and X-Men, and she's taken a little bit less so this movie can be made, and it's a movie she really believes in, isn't that the Tom Brady thing to do?
It is a Tom Brady thing to do there, Justin. I think Tom Brady would be proud. Tom Brady. I mean, I think it is. And there are a couple things about this story. I appreciate what Jennifer Lawrence is saying. This isn't exclusively a female thing, though, and I don't think we should construe it that, not us, but the media shouldn't construe it that way. When I was first applying for jobs and whatever, I basically took whatever they offered me. Once I got experience and learned what my worth was comparative to the field, you know, for my most recent job, we came in an enormous number apart. Just an unfathomable gorge apart in terms of where they wanted me and where I wanted to be. And I basically was a hardline negotiator in that situation because I'd learned mistakes.
In dildo links, how far away was it?
Oh, it was a good 3,100 dildo lengths, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not talking the petite ones. I'm talking the mega dongs, are made of black.
You're talking about the BBCs, right? It was many, many BBCs away.
Are we going to buy Chinese dildo? Okay, no. My point is...
Well, they're all made in China, aren't they?
My point is, you have to know your worth and your value, not only for what yourself, what you're willing to work with, but also what your market value is, and you have to negotiate accordingly and know that the person hiring you is going to negotiate accordingly. Here's the other added fact of this story, and I know she didn't bring up these specific numbers, but research was done. We're not even talking about a specific salary here in this movie. The stars got all a flat salary paid the same. What she's specifically referring to is back-end percentages, like what percentage you get of a certain whatever made afterward. The three men she mentioned all got 9%. She got 7%. So, you know, travesty of all travesties. Maybe she should have gotten 9, but people also neglect to bring up that she wasn't an enormous star at that time. She was an up-and-coming star, whereas the other three were established stars. So
I think the point, Daniel, that you made about knowing your own worth and not just taking what they give you is the most important point. It's not a second-handed thing. The industry does not define your value. There's a balance, and this is what people miss. There's a balance between your value and the market. And we have this idea that when we say the free market determines worth, right? We have this idea that it's completely just what the free market says is what things are worth. But the deciding factor is yourself and your mind. I mean, it's the same thing in dating too.
Yeah, absolutely. But the market mechanism at work here is not simply someone selling something or someone giving you a job. It's you interacting with that person. Necessarily requires two of you to make a market. Market price is set by the interaction between the person having the money and the person having the goods.
And so, ideally in that situation, you both negotiate to the point where you think you are getting the greater value, and thus super value is created. Mega value.
So my question to you all is, do I get 7% or 9% of the income from this podcast?
You can have Elliot 7%. Don't tell him.
Well, since William already posed the first question of what it's like to be Jennifer Lawrence, let's go to Reddit to find out the next one. It's time for Reddit on Reddit. Sony stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way, EA blows, Steam rocks, God rest for my firewall. These things are all on Reddit, mostly pics of felines, comma, boring felines. These things are all on Reddit, no we didn't post it, but we will repost it. First Reddit. I love this question, by the way. You are Jennifer Lawrence. What now?
So many metaphysical portions to this question. Have I literally been transformed into Jennifer Lawrence? Am I have my own
I would,
mind?
I know. I would want the adidectomy because I would miss my penis if I was literally transformed into Jennifer Lawrence.
I think
although I would have
people,
enough money to get one.
I was going
to
say, I think many people want to add a dick to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, well. I'm not either, actually. I'm not very attracted to her. She looks like a child to me. I mean, below the neck, she looks normal, but neck and above.
Wait, you know. How much below the neck have you seen of Jennifer Lawrence?
Well, just from, you know, her Hunger Games outfit, you can tell she has an enormous rack.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's see, Reddit had great answers to this, like, masturbate to my reflection. That seems misogynistic to me.
That seems like a standard Reddit answer.
Yeah.
I think there's a subreddit dedicated to that. Yeah, I think there's a subreddit dedicated to that.
Every question.
Make a lot of porn so that other people are happy. Massive orgy to thousands of socially awkward Redditors. I see a common thread here.
You know, I think, you know, as much as people, you know, use Reddit for porn, it does seem surprising that the top 10 answers are all porn or sex related. No one touches on money. She's got money. Like, you can do things.
Yeah, despite
with
her
the money.
Negotiation troubles, she is one of the highest paid actresses in Hollywood and is worth over $50 million.
Yeah, but so, William.
Start buying some Apple products.
Men don't look at women for money the way women look at men for money.
I'm not looking at her. Well, I guess that's, maybe you have a point here because I'm not immediately thinking to exploit her sexuality. I'm immediately thinking to exploit her money. You know, I've got 3 more stores I could open with that kind of money. Probably a lot more.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too. Like, I mean, that would be my answer as well, right? It's like immediately just start bankrolling independent pictures or
oh, yeah. Think
pilots,
of how many,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah, we could finish up your web series in a heartbeat with that kind of money.
We could do 10 seasons of a full series with that kind of money. Pitch it to Netflix.
We could afford a makeup person that could show up on time. Yeah, I mean, these are all things we could do.
Are there any of those in Hollywood?
Yeah.
I'll find you one.
I probably should not insult all makeup people at the start of my career.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
With that kind of money, I can almost pay off my student loans. Zing. That was a student loan joke. Thank you.
But no, I think all the answers are sexual because she's been in X-Men and been in The Hunger Games, so she's become a nerd sexual icon, is what it is.
Didn't she have her nude selfies leaked as well?
Probably.
I'm the wrong gay to ask that question.
I think so.
All right. Yeah. Guess we didn't really give an answer. We just said money is our answer, so.
Money.
Money and acting and stuff, right? It would be cool to act in.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, who would we want to see Jennifer?
Wait, do we get her talent, though, too? This is opening up a whole new thread of discussion here. If I got her talent,
so
yeah.
Who would you want to see her act with?
Mila Kunis in a film about lesbians.
Do you want to see her in Black Swan?
No! God, stop. That's not a film.
See, I was going to say, like, someone like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
you
know, see, that's where your mind would go, penis.
Yeah, exactly. The only actor that I would scratch my head about why he hasn't won an Oscar.
Not me.
All right, next Reddit. Is it okay for a married person to flirt if there is no intentions of anything else?
Let me take this one first.
Like you've been doing with everything else on this podcast?
Oh, I'm paying for it, aren't I?
It has its privileges.
You know, I can only do these jokes this episode. I promise I will not do these jokes next episode. If I get invited back. I think the answer is yes, as long as your partner is cool with it. I know there's a gay couple friend of mine. Unfortunately, his husband recently passed. But while they were married, he's just a very gregarious and sort of flirtatious guy. Like, you know, it's just part of his personality. He's just very that way. Completely not a, like, being flirtatious is not necessarily an indication of any sort of, like, trust and or relationship issue. Now, there's a level of flirtation that I think would be inappropriate, but, you know, like, a little banter is one thing, but if we're talking about, you know, anything, there's certainly a line. I'm not sure where that line is. I'm sure it varies a little bit relationship to relationship, but there's a line that shouldn't be crossed, right? If you're being monogamous, there's a level of flirtation that takes it to the zone where you need to keep consenting yes, that sort of zone. Yeah, that should be avoided.
Yeah, I generally agree with all that. I would just say it this way, which is couples have to know what boundaries there are, what's appropriate, what's not, and you have to discuss those explicitly, not implicitly. You have to decide and communicate those decisions to the other person.
Yeah, and it's trial and error sometimes too, you know? Like it's okay to learn as you go. I think that's one thing that other people, you know, someone will get jealous and it's like, no, talk about it. You know, talk about the jealousy and, you know, work through it. You know, like it's not necessarily a bad thing that, you know, your boyfriend and or girlfriend is flirting. You know, like find out what it was and what it means and then, you know, work from there.
Yeah. So, I'm in a relationship with someone has a flirtatious personality and works in the service industry as a server and a bartender, where that kind of personality makes you a boatload of money. But basically the rule we devised is that within the first, you know, let's say casual conversation with someone, you just have to slip in the boyfriend card. And then intentions are more clear in that regard.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Why not the hot boyfriend card? I'm just wondering about this negotiation right here.
She'd probably settle on smart. I think she'd settle on smart. Yeah. Okay.
I agree that it's all about negotiating between the two people in the relationship, but I think this goes back to what I was saying early on in the episode, that you just can't see the other person you're with as the enemy when making these rules. You have to decide, you have to, you know, understand and define that they're on your side and look at it that way and, you know, see that the way they're acting is not to hurt you, but the way that they're acting is just to be natural and to get along with people. And if you start the discussion from that point, I think it's a lot healthier than trying to limit and control them to stop them from doing something wrong or stop them from hurting you. There's a difference between saying, hey, you know, this happened and I didn't realize it was going to upset me, but it did. So can you take that into account versus saying, don't do that because that's an affront to me.
Yeah, that's a great point, Justin, because I think it could also vary person to person and time to time. If I was in a relationship and someone started flirting with my ex, I would be very uncomfortable with that, right? Like, you know, like, so but that would have to come out in a discussion, right? You know, like, or there might be certain times where I'm not comfortable with it, you know? So it's good to have that kind of dialogue.
Right. And flirting with one person might be okay, with flirting with another person might not be okay. I mean, I can just think of, there are certain guys who don't get cues and don't take the hints and just sort of think every woman is theirs. And if I was with someone and they were flirting with that guy, I would be less comfortable with that than with somebody who it's just kind of like a friendly, flirty person.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Last Reddit. And we want to talk about existential here. What's the point of a sex scene?
Hmm.
To serve the plot.
To serve
the plot. Serve. I don't know. It can be artistic. It can be representative of the theme. It can be representative of a character's relationship or the shattering of a relationship. Or, I mean, to serve the plot is absolutely correct, and really you can drop the mic, but just be a little more specific.
Well, I think they're both. I think you, I mean, you both just gave the answers, right? It's to serve the plot, and it should be integrated with the theme and to concretize the theme.
Yeah. Not that this was a sex scene, I'm not saying that, but a concrete example of this, you know, from The Martian, the whole cutting out the bullet thing was just unnecessary. Like,
grotesque.
It was. I couldn't even watch the screen. It didn't serve the theme. It didn't serve the plot. You could have made it very, there's a way to make that scene that would have integrated with the plot and the theme, but that was just visual masturbation. It was just, look at this gross thing I can show you and you're going to watch.
And some sex scenes are like that, definitely.
Yeah, some sex scenes are definitely like that. Let's think of a concrete example of a good sex scene, the sex scenes in The Watchmen.
Isn't that the example we always use?
Because they're awesome.
Sorry.
I knew we were all going to go there. I would also throw the 300 sex scene into the room.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And in novels, we have the quote unquote rape scene in The Fountainhead. That serves a definite purpose in the theme and the plot. You know, that's the characters are developing there. The theme and plot are all integrated in that sex scene. And while it's graphic, it serves the theme.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the Atlas Shrugged sex scenes as well, right? Dagny,
yeah,
Hank,
definitely.
And I mean, you want to talk about thematic, James and Lillian.
Yeah. See, now that's an example of one that I struggle to read through. But serves the plot, you know? It's not, I mean, it's certainly disgusting, but it wasn't just disgusting to be disgusting.
Well, it's supposed to be disgusting thematically.
Right. Exactly. But we don't dwell on it for 500 pages.
Right. One of the only scenes that isn't dwelled on for 500 pages. Just kidding, I love the book.
Daniel, do you have anything you want to add here, or anything you want to say about the Watchmen scene?
Just that the two sex scenes comparatively are just collectively the best sex scene in a movie that I've ever seen. Because of the way it was done and the way it integrates. And most of the time, movies don't use sex scenes well. They just use them as an excuse to show boobs. I understand. Ratings, whatever.
Right. And it's also a very simplistic way of visually showing these people are really into each other.
Boobs. Next week on The Midside.
I wish.
Yeah, like HBO, and I think overdoes the amount of sex scenes they need in their shows. Not necessary. You're just using them to be naturalistic.
Yeah, Game of Thrones has a little bit of some naturalistic sex in there.
Oh, look, another rape. Great.
Yeah that's, I mean, that the, really was True Blood started that.
Well, it's mixed though. I think there are some sex scenes that make a lot of sense, but then there's others that you're just like, okay, now we're just getting our titty rating. You know, like we have to have so many titties per episode. So. Which is funny because I think Penn and Teller, if I recall correctly, I think Penn in an interview said they had a certain number of boobs they had to show per episode.
Yeah, and then they had the whole sex episode of bullshit where they made the point of having naked people and pointing out boobs the entire episode.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's end this thing. What did we learn this week? William?
I learned that I should carry not only my concealed weapon, but a dildo on every campus that I go to.
And just slap bitches with it.
Slap bitches with one or the other.
Pistol whip, dildo whip. What did you learn, Daniel?
I learned that under no circumstances does anything mean that a girl will actually want to have sex with you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Justin, what did you learn?
That Watchmen is unequivocally it has the best sex scene in movie history. That we're not going to get away from that. It seems like the obvious choice because sometimes the obvious choice is the only choice. And that's why it's obvious.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother. Preach. If you want to hear more preaching from us, you can be like Producer William. That is, you can go to patreon.com/themidside. And sign up to give us a little bit of, you know, a little few shekels for each episode, whether it's a couple pennies, a couple million dollars, or anything in between. helps us keep the lights on, helps us keep the website running at a nice low hum, helps us take time out of our week to do this for you, which we thoroughly enjoy. And in fact, you know, we had some more over there. We might do it a couple times a week. Who knows?
But point of order, is that Motel 6 will leave the light on? Is that how they leave the light on, Patreon?
Patreon.
Yes, indeed. Or anything helps on Patreon, but we absolutely understand this economy sucks. Thanks, Obama. But if you go to facebook.com/themidside or twitter.com/themidside, you can follow us there, share, and in fact, go to iTunes, write us a 5-star review, and then
five
share.
Stars.
5, 5, 5. Herman Cain, back in black.
Even a penny helps. For a penny an episode, for 4 cents a month, you too can help a starving podcast.
It's 4.5 cents a month, but yeah.
It's true. And all podcasters are starving podcasters, so you don't have to say starving podcaster. It's redundant.
I was making a reference.
Yes, I know. And I was shooting on your point. It's what we do.
Yep.
And so thanks. Tell a friend, tell your enemies, tell your dog, tell everyone to listen. Just, it's probably not suitable for work, but anytime other than that. Thanks.
I'm Justin M. Lesneski, and I hope you learned something this week. This concludes your journey into the midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day!
William,
do you need
you gonna
to leave? William?
Hop off?
No, let's go. Let's see how. Let's drill through these and see. Well, do you want to? Why don't we? No, that's a nightmare. I was gonna say, why don't we do the close and then? No, let's just keep going for now.
Okay.
All right. So just to be clear, you're consenting.
I'll keep saying yes each article.
We're gonna need an audible yes every 10 seconds.